Welcome to a new episode of The Brand Called You. Today we have a very interesting guest, a lady who has achieved a lot in the human resources space, Aditi Kumar. Aditi, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh.
Pleasure. Aditi has studied at the Symbiosis Institute of Media and Communications. She has 17 years work experience in media, advertising, IT and HR consulting. She's a leadership coach and facilitator. And the other aspect of her is that she's a photography enthusiast and a long distance runner. Wow. Aditi, tell us a little bit about your professional life and what all you have done.
Well, when you were introducing me, it actually sounded like somebody really interesting. So I'm going to...
That's why we have you on the show.
Sure. So I'll just quickly share with you the professional milestones that I've had. I started out in 2002 and that's been 17 years now, right? So pretty long span. Very lucky to have had a very diverse range of experience. So started out from a fairly large firm, which was Times of India, and in Bombay, in their VT office, which is, if you're in different times and if you're in the VT office, it's like you've arrived kind of a feeling. And for a fresher to start there was like high in itself. So you get a press card and you get to meet a bunch of diverse range of clients. It gives you access and exposure to a lot of clients very early on. And I think that was my biggest learning there, that while I was in the marketing department, I was also, you know, arranging and I was looking after the entire event section where you tie up with clients, you do alliances, and you set up these events where, you know, the subscribers or the readers, they get to experience the medium even in a touch and feel format. It's not just a newspaper which is coming home. It's also a live event which they can walk into and they can experience the products there. A new platform, a new concept that they had come up with, which I was leading there. And the interesting part was that, you know, you get to interact with the whole bunch of clients. Mm. So it started off on a great note. Incidentally, the next turn that my career took was with a startup. Mm-hmm. So after working with a large setup, you go and experience being a part of a startup where you're pretty much working with the core founders. Mm. And then you realize that, hey, you know, like there are four of you who's running the entire show.
Correct.
So,
and was this also in the media space?
Or? No, this was IT. Okay. So I was working with Booz Technologies, which is acquired by an American association now. It's Booz Inc. now. They were into a completely different sort of a space, completely different turn from media, from a large setup to a small setup. You're kind of designing, delivering programs, you're doing marketing for the programs. But at the same time, you're also realizing that, hey, you know, the buck somewhere is stopping at you. You know, you're probably finding yourself even doing the courier.
True.
Right. So a very different kind of exposure. Worked with the founders very closely, a lot of learning in that space. Booz was selected at one of the ISB, the greatest startups from India, the year that we were a part, I was a part of it. So great learnings there. I took a sabbatical for 2 years. And, you know, I find it very important to mention that as a milestone as well, because I think my real journey started from that sabbatical, because everything till then that you have associated with your identity, right? Because it's your profession, it's the name tags you're carrying, it's the business card you're carrying, it's taken away from you.
So let me pause for a minute.
Yeah, sure.
Tell us why, you know, what were the objectives of the sabbatical?
Okay, so
this. And why did you decide?
It was a very cliched objective. Mm-hmm. I was supporting my husband for an overseas project. Okay. We were transferred to a country called Panama, which mm-hmm. is in Central America. I also had my children around the same time. Okay. So juggling with motherhood and a Spanish-speaking
sure.
country, right?
Sure.
So you're, on one hand, you're learning a new language. On the other hand, you're like, hey, you know, like, but I'm so used to going to work every morning, right? But then I think that was also a very defining phase for me because, as I said, that everything that I associated my identity with was taken away. And I chose that. And that gave me that 2 years of very deep introspection. I was like, hey, you know, like, if that's taken away, then what am I left with? So a lot of questioning, a lot of deeper level of self-awareness. That's the process started. I would say that the seed was sowed around in that time. And of course, I made new friends, understood the new culture. I was blogging that time. I kept myself busy with all of that. But that was a turning point in my career, which manifested itself into a choice of a different career when I came back to India.
Yeah.
Which was, I realized that, hey, you know, I don't want to go back to selling either events or IT solutions or anything else. Mm. Probably... It just didn't cut the mark anymore for me. It wasn't touching the spot. It was just not giving me the satisfaction which probably it gave earlier. Mm-hmm. And something had changed and it was nothing but me probably. Incidentally, I came across the space of coaching and people development. It was completely accidental. Somebody threw me in the deep end of the pool. Hey, you know, somebody has backed out. Can you fill in? Can you do that? We'll orient you in 2 days. And there I was actually delivering an assignment and got feedback from people that, hey, you know, you're good at it. And that's when I realized that okay, I experienced something called the flow in the assignment that I delivered. And flow is all about that, hey, you lose track of hunger, sleep, because you love something to the core.
Yeah.
I think that's when I identified that I want to work with people, and everything else was pretty much backwards after that, getting
so
certifications.
So help us understand, what is coaching? I mean, you know, yes. I find in our country, coaching is beginning to get a lot of acceptance. And yet traditionally, coaching was either done by someone who was very senior in your organization, who we used to call a mentor, or in family-run organizations, it was done by an elder. And yet now, we are beginning to ask for professional intervention. So what has changed?
Yes, you're right that, you know, coaching can be misinterpreted in a lot of ways because of the term, right? For the longest time, my 9 years of my coaching career, people have come, but what is coaching? Do you train? Are you into sports? So yes, those questions get thrown at you. Very simply speaking, Ashutosh, coaching is actually a form of development intervention. There are a bunch of development interventions that organizations do for their employees. Coaching is one of them. It's highly customized in nature. In fact, it is the intervention which is most customized, tailor-made for the candidate or the coachee, so to speak. It's an engagement between a coach and the client. Mm-hmm. Client is referred to as coachee. So you'll find me kind of talking about coach and the coachee probably during the discussion a little bit more often. It's inquiry-based. So the whole premise of coaching is that, hey, you know, all the answers lie within you. You're the best person to know what's best for you. You might be seeking support from elsewhere, from your external environment. But if you just pause, ask yourself some questions, facilitated by a coach, of course, you might just find the best solutions for yourself. So broadly speaking, that's what coaching is. Yes, of course, there are different formats, models, school of thoughts, which are around it.
Sure.
But it helps you from reaching from point A to point B. It accelerates the process of growth. And
very
a coach supports you in that journey.
And, you know, coaching has been prevalent in the US, for example, for at least the last 25, 30 years.
Yeah.
And if you look at a very well-known coaching video of Eric Schmidt, the current chairman of Google, and everyone seems to have seen that. But it's only in the last few years that I'm starting to see coaching as an intervention in Indian companies.
Mm-hmm.
What is changing in the Indian companies that now they are saying? Because, you know, HR practices seems to be, are also evolving. So coaching has now become an important intervention for people who are high potential candidates.
So that's a great question, Ashutosh. And in fact, I was just thinking about it when I was driving to this place, and I was thinking about it that, hey, you know, what was my experience of meeting clients when I met them 9 years back to going back to some of the clients now, right? The receptivity, the openness towards even finding out more about coaching has gone higher. And I feel that as an independent consultant who is meeting different clients, and I have thought about it, and I'm just going to share my point of view with you, that I think one of the significant changes which has happened in the Indian scenario, Indian, the way we do business, the way we go about contributing to the economy through businesses, etc., is that somewhere, you know, this whole concept of entrepreneurship, you are an employee, you are working for an organization, but the expectations of the organization from you has changed. The organization is not bringing in you just to follow the mandates, just to take instructions and follow it through. They're actually getting you in to demonstrate a very higher level of ownership. They're saying, hey, okay, I think you're good, you have your track record, but we want you to come and drive this thing for us. And when they say that you have to drive this thing for us, how do you drive? How do you lead?
Correct.
You lead from a space which is much more authentic, much more sustainable, you know, because your own dependence on instructions has gone down. That's what the organizations are craving for. Of course, at this point, we think that, oh, are they just the MNCs? Are they just these companies which are based in America and US and Europe, and probably a part of their culture is trickling down to India? Yes, probably yes. But having said that, I think this whole startup boost that we're experiencing, even that has contributed to people looking at leadership in a different way, people looking at engagement in a different way.
Sure.
A job is not a job just to get you money, but
Correct.
It's also a way you make meaning. It's also an extension of yourself. And I find more and more people speaking that language. And it's music to my ears, because for an intervention, for a coach or for somebody who believes in an intervention like coaching, this is exactly the kind of people
Absolutely.
You want to work with and, you know, support to take them to the next level.
Absolutely.
Even recently in family-owned business setups, I have seen that they are more open towards bringing people from outside. Hey, you know, something needs to change. So they're feeling the need for that change is what I have personally experienced in the last few years.
Two questions on coaching. One is, if someone wants to become a coach, what kind of qualifications or certifications do they need? And the related question is that if I want to find a coach, how do I go about doing that?
Sure. So certifications are plenty, Ashutosh. In fact, I would say that it's kind of gone a bit to the other extent where
everyone seems to be certifying.
Yeah, everybody seems to be certifying. In fact, the entry level barrier for something like coaching is so low that sometimes it actually doesn't work very well in the favor of seasoned coaches or people who are actually pursuing it for the passion and with that whole professional authenticity. But having said that, yes, there are some coaching schools, and probably ICF is certification is one of the things that one can look at, that hey, are you affiliated to ICF, etc. I got my certifications done from a couple of schools myself, which is there in my profile as well. Looking for a coach, that's interesting. See, organizations typically, they would reach out to smaller coaching firms which do much more specialized work. There are also larger consulting firms who have coaching as a wing, and you know, they panel coaches and they rope them in as and when there's a requirement. There are also a lot of independent coaches like myself who have connects with clients who are also empaneled with consulting firms. And if you have your own brand out there, then people might seek out for you. People might say, hey, you know, I think I want her or him for this intervention. So I think it's a combination of all of that. Yes. Does that answer your question?
It does. It does. Okay. Because, you know, a lot of people who may want to look for a coach don't know how to find one.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's, that's one of the reasons why I was asking you this question, because at least I haven't come across any kind of an organization which says that, okay, we have this ability to give you broad spectrum of coaches across specializations.
Right. I think there are people who are working on it, but it's still in a nascent stage, but definitely more room for that space to grow.
Yeah,
certainly.
So we've got a lot of entrepreneurs who watch our podcast, a lot of startup entrepreneurs, a lot of professional managers. How can coaching benefit someone who's a startup entrepreneur or a young professional manager or a middle management professional?
Okay, that's again an interesting question, Ashutosh. So having worked with a bunch of, I would say, young managers and entrepreneurs, I'm going to again share my learnings and my insights. I think a couple of things that stand out for me and a couple of things that I have coached, if I were to pick up themes which emerge in terms of working with these leaders or entrepreneurs and young leaders are a couple of things. So first would be, you know, the fact that you're so passionate, which is actually making you an entrepreneur, right? You want to drive things, you want to drive things fast. So there's passion, there's need for speed. And when you scale, it comes with growth pains, right? Correct. It's almost like a child growing.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you don't give him enough nutrition, there will be some aches and pains.
Yeah.
That's the point when I felt that coaching has really helped them to identify that, hey, you know, like probably there is a room to get some sort of a best practices in. Yes, I want the speed, but at the same time, I also need a team. And a team is probably is not going to run at the same speed as me if I don't spend that kind of time with them. So just making them realize that, hey, pausing, generating a buy-in, taking them along. That's also an important part of what their end objective is. Mm-hmm. Similarly, when we are an entrepreneur or a young manager, we are also, as I said, passion, right?
Yeah.
And we want to do things and we want to do, sometimes we get really attached to the way we do things. And it brings in certain element of rigidity that, hey, you know, I want it this way and I want to execute it. I want to do everything myself. And again, as I said, that as you're scaling, probably you again need a bunch of people with you to help you out, right? So things like effective delegation, are you delegating, are you becoming a micromanager? So a coach can actually come in and support and make them realize that, hey, you know, like you actually might be breathing down their neck. Give them space, empower them, let them be, let them solve their own problems. Even if that means you have to wait for a bit, but in the longer run, it's only going to pay you off. So these are a couple of things.
And probably seek much greater accountability.
Absolutely. It's almost like this, Ashutosh, that, you know, do you want to go for a sprint or are you running a marathon? So make them see that picture as well.
Okay.
That's what they say, right? If you want to go far, take them along. If you want to go fast, go alone.
Absolutely.
So, and when they see that perspective, suddenly everything sort of falls in line. That, hey, okay, there is time. There is merit in pausing, building relationships as well, taking people along as well.
So tell me, what are the steps that are involved in a coaching process? I mean, from the time, say, I agree with you to... for me to be your coachee,
right?
What would the steps be?
Okay, so I would actually go one step back, that even before you agree to be my coachee. So the first step actually is, we say coach and coachee chemistry check, which is extremely important. It's just like a 20-minute meeting that you do with your coachee, or the coachee gets an opportunity to choose or meet three coaches, let's say, and pick one of them. It's just something like, you know, that gut feel that, hey, I click, I don't click, right? Because you're going to be spending a lot of time during the intervention, a lot of in-depth conversations would happen. So that click factor is important. So I would say that's the very first step. Once that's in place, in an organizational context, we do something called diagnostics step. Diagnostics is nothing but a combination of putting together various inputs, right? So there might be a personality assessment that you run in the coachee. There might be a 360 that the company has run. You might want to talk to the manager, the peer, or the direct reportee of the coachee just to gather some insight that, hey, you know, how is he being seen? Sure. After the diagnostics, you go to the first session. You start the session. Mm-hmm. So coaching is, you know, a series of conversations, as I said. So you start the first session. First session is largely about, you know, building the rapport. Mm-hmm. Somewhere at the end, we do want to walk away with some themes that we want to work on. So that's primarily the intent of the first session. Depending on the scale and scope of the engagement, then you follow up. Then you have, you know, 4 to 6 sessions, which happen on a monthly or a bi-monthly basis. And in the end, before the coaching intervention ends, actually, I would say that in the last session or even before that, coach really supports the coachee in creating some support systems around him or her. Mm-hmm. It's almost like the weaning off process that, okay, hey, you know, I'm not going to be around as a sounding board anymore. Yeah. Yeah. But how do I help you to create certain support systems that you can keep tapping into and stay the course, stay on the journey? So that's broadly the way it works. And of course, depending on the engagement, again, Ashutosh, there might be a mid-check-in point with the stakeholders, the sponsors, and an ultimate kind of a review as well. Mm-hmm. But it's also a confidential engagement. So the only things which go back to the stakeholders is purely something which is from the development point of view or somewhere where you want the organization to contribute. You want them to give a specific project, for instance, an action learning project, which will support the coachee on the theme that he's working on. So those are the kind of things that you go back to the sponsors for. But the content of the conversation is largely confidential.
So I'm assuming that the assignment will be done by the sponsor. But at the end of the coaching, would you do a review with the sponsor and give feedback?
Yes, I would do a review and give feedback because I want the organization to not only say that they are supporting the cause, but actually play the role.
Correct.
If there are certain things that they need to keep in mind. So, for instance, something very small, like if the coachee's need is to get a pat on the back more often or get validation, I want to tell the manager, hey, you know, like, please, small wins, celebrate that because it's going to help him. So I would definitely want to give that kind of feedback to the manager.
And you mentioned that the total assignment could be 6 to 8 meetings, say.
Depending on the scope of the work. Absolutely.
How does the coachee evaluate whether he or she has got something significant out of the coach?
Okay. So you're actually sounding like one of the sponsors that I'm talking to now.
Okay.
But so my experience so far, Ashutosh, has been that most of the people, I want to say 95% of the coaches that I have worked with, they just feel the difference.
Right.
They feel the difference. It's there in their vibe. It's also there in the productivity, right? Because the engagement you feel, the joy with which you kind of go and do your work, it directly reflects in the quality of output that you're able to generate. So I think it's a lot to do with the intuitive vibe and the feeling vibe. But having said that, because we want to make this, you know, scalable and we want to go to more organizations and make much more informed pitches, we do introduce some measurability. So we do run a little self-assessment. We go back and say that, hey, you know, like, remember, you marked yourself at a 6. Where do you think you are now? And what has made the difference? So we make them anchor. And look, if you move to 9, what has contributed to it? So we help them anchor those points, etc.
Interesting. One last question on coaching before we move on.
Sure.
Transparent on so many questions on coaching. I was talking to somebody in the US and they run a very, very successful business coaching organization.
Sure.
And they remain associated with the coaching for years together. Do we have anything like business coaching in our country where people get involved with the strategy planning, people get involved in accountability, not just of the CEO, but of his direct reports?
Definitely. I think that's picking up, Ashutosh. So nomenclature-wise, I don't know that if it's called business coaching or... So terminology-wise, I might not be the best person to sort of comment on that. But if I'm understanding you correctly, we are actually saying that are we approaching coaching from a much wider scale? And I think that's actually the way to go forward to make this whole intervention more sustainable. Because, you know, it's something like this. You go to an organization and you change one thing.
Yeah.
Then the person goes back to the same environment, what is the likelihood of that person being able to sustain the journey that he has, you know, undertaken? It becomes very important to sensitize the organization, sensitize the culture that he's in, so that they together go on that journey then, right? And so therefore, if we can expand the scope of coaching, take it to a little bit of a cultural level, bring in different aspects which will appeal to different levels of people, right? For a CEO, probably you require a very different kind of specialist. For the direct reportee, he might need a little bit different kind of support. So if all of that can be clubbed together, packaged, and then presented and, you know, run, rolled over. And I think that's happening. Slowly but surely, that is happening in the space.
So Aditi, I'm going to now move our podcast discussion to Aditi as an individual.
Sure.
You know, 17 years of work, within that 2 years sabbatical, successful coach, recognized in this field. What is the secret of your success? You did mention family, children.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
And I have always a lot of respect for ladies who do so much multitasking.
So I'm going to give you a very cliched answer, Ashutosh, which I think working women would. But having said that, honesty is something which I promise to bring here. So I think it's the ability to strike the balance between the head and the heart. Somewhere acknowledging to myself that, yes, I'm ambitious. And when I'm ambitious, it's not only, I'm not just ambitious about my career. I'm also ambitious mom. I'm also ambitious homemaker. And all those parts are equally important, right?
Absolutely.
So just having a very full-fledged career and you come back home and you're like, oh my God, guilt-ridden. I don't think that's going to give me any joy. So somewhere acknowledging that to myself, accepting that and being in the process of creating that balance, making my choices accordingly. No perfect answers there,
but just
the fact that I've been on that journey probably has helped me immensely to stay grounded.
A question like this will be so personal to every individual. And even the whole question of what is success is very personal.
Absolutely.
You did mention all three aspects, you know. You're ambitious about your career, ambitious about your children, and ambitious about your home, which is fantastic.
Absolutely.
How do you manage work-life balance? Obviously, you're out working quite a bit.
I have like a battalion working behind me.
Okay.
I kid you not. I think for people like us, we need an army. Right from your partner to your children to your help, which in India we are really blessed to have.
Yeah.
I think all of them have been really brought up to speed. So I do a lot of coaching back home as well.
Okay.
And kind of making them a part of the cause that, hey, you know, I'm doing this. This is important to me. It makes me happy. If I'm happy, you're happy. Are you with me? So I would say that having the whole support system in place has immensely helped me because given my nature of work, I do travel a lot. And flexibility is actually a myth, which I want to really probably bust here. They say that, hey, time is in your control. But actually, sometimes it works on the contrary. Because the time is in your control, maybe you have to get in a call at 8 p.m. as well, which is dinner time. So those things are there. But I think having said that, largely now I find myself getting a little bit more on top of my calendar, scheduling things a little bit more rigidly and not giving in to little temptations that come here and there. Yeah, and prioritizing and reprioritizing as you go along.
So my next question is a question that I ask all our guests. Everyone's answer is very different. Tell us about your learnings from some of your failures.
So in coaching, we ban the word failure, actually. We say no failure, it's only learnings.
Yeah.
So I'll share some learnings maybe. And so I'll go to my recent, I'll share the learnings which are recent, Ashutosh, because they are like fresh in my mind. And in my journey of being an independent coach and a consultant, and somewhere I found out that one of the beliefs or values that I hold on to is that do good work, do great work, and let the work speak for yourself. And I think the first 5 years of my coaching journey were like that. So I was doing great work. I was actually kind of really going out there and meeting clients. I wasn't really talking about it. I wasn't really using any platform. I wasn't networking enough. So somewhere, you know, talking about yourself wasn't coming easy to me. And there were times when I found myself in discussions or groups or conferences where people say, hey, that's a great point. And I'm like, oh, wow. I mean, I did add value. And then somewhere that triggered a thought that, hey, you know, I mean, you do need to find your tribe. You do need to find people who you can create value for and get value back from. So for me, I think this was one of big realization that I had like 6 years back. And I said that, hey, you know, okay, better late than never. And from that point on, I've been a little bit more organized about talking about myself, marketing, or whatever you call it. So one thing is to master your craft. One thing is to equally important thing is to talk about it
yeah.
to people, because in the end it only helps the cause, right? Mm. The more people you take along. So I think that's one big learning for me, that hey, marketing is equally important. Put it in your calendar along with that coaching session.
Yeah.
Okay, so second thing, again, in the spirit of honesty, is I think somewhere learning that no matter what, the close relationships are going to see you through. And in pursuit of one thing, just make sure that you take the other one along as well. So I think those are a couple of things that stand out for me.
So next question, you know, you yourself are very young, but you've got lots of experience working with so many people as entrepreneurs or professionals.
Yeah.
What would your advice be to a young manager starting off in a company or a young startup entrepreneur?
You're saying somebody who's just starting off.
Starting off, or you know, 1, 2 years, 3 years. I mean, these are something like life's lessons.
Yeah, sure. I think I'm a big fan of this whole word called self-awareness. We feel that we are 30 or 40 or 25 and we figure it out and... But the truth is that even at 60, we are still figuring it out.
So, I was just going to say, I'm 62 and I'm still figuring it out.
Yeah. So, you know, actually telling them that, hey, you know, like, sure, you have milestones behind you. Sure, you're confident and you're really with it and you're very clear with where you want to go.
Yeah.
But still there is room to, you know, keep finding out more about yourself. Don't be close to feedback. There's one thing which is intent. There's another thing which is impact. So intent is what you're sure of, maybe. Do take time out to measure the impact that it's creating on people. That's one big thing that people, I feel that they miss out on.
Sure.
So I would say that, you know, taking timely feedback from your stakeholders, from people who you come across with, your team. What else would I say? Take people along. Mm-hmm. You know, relationships are important as well. Yes, pursue your goals. Absolutely go after them. But pause, create those time for that little pause here and there. You know, see what's inside, rather than just seeking out all the answers on the outside. I think those are a couple of things which make the whole journey sustainable. That's what I have found out.
Very interesting. So last question. What next for Aditi in the next 10, 15, 20 years?
10, 15, 20 more years
coaching,
is like I'm...
More something different. Have you thought about it?
One thing I'm clear of, Ashutosh, which is I do see myself working with people. This is the space where I come alive. This is the space which gives me immense, it helps me make immense meaning. I don't see myself going away from this space at all. So I see myself working with people, in-depth interventions, helping them grow, helping them develop, enable them. But yes, having said that, very open to working with new industries, new geographies, new challenges. That stays. But at the same time, I don't see myself doing anything different which is not involving people. So it has to be the people's space.
Aditi, thank you very much for being on our show. I think you've been really honest, you've been really transparent, and everything you've said, I think, will be of a lot of interest to the thousands of people who listen to our podcasts. Thank you again.
Thank you, Ashutosh. I really enjoyed being here, and I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you so much.
I had some reflective moments myself.
Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for The Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.